Over the last several Lord's days, we've been basing our remarks upon 1 Peter 5 and 8. Now, maybe you should know that verse by now. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have emphasized these words, tried to teach the principal lesson, namely, the child of God has an enemy. He has a deadly enemy. That enemy is described here as our adversary, the devil. Last Lord's Day, we were thinking specifically about the devil's liberty in this world. It says here in the verse, he walketh about. The devil, up to this moment, is not under any confinement as regards the territory through which he can roam, seeking whom he may devour among the children of God. The devil is not yet in chains. He's not yet bound. He's at liberty. The Bible says here, he walketh about. We cannot stress too much the devil's relationship to the world. In this world, then, the devil walketh about. Sometime when you read the book of Job, Job chapter 1, you'll find the devil in the presence of God among the sons of God. He is asked from whence he came. And he plainly says, from walking up and down in the midst of the earth. So, putting Job chapter 1 together with 1 Peter 5 and 8, we find that the area in which Satan will walk about is the world. Now, last Lord's Day, we observed some scripture teachings concerning the word world. For example, in the book of James chapter 4, God's people are plainly warned in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Is the Christian not to be friendly? Is he not to be friendly in every aspect of his life? Why does the Word of God tell him that he is not to have any friendship at all with the world? Why does the Word of God put it so boldly, so plainly, that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It must be something dreadful, then, in friendship with the world. We also read from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Christian is not to love the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Plainly, therefore, there's something evil in the world. The Christian is not to love the world because of that particular characteristic of the world. The Christian is not to love the world, the context seems to show, because the world passeth away. And all that belongs to it, the world is only fleeting and transient and temporal. So the Christian should not set his affection on that which is unstable. Love not the world. But is there not some deeper reason why the Christian should not love the world? Why that man who is the friend of the world is the enemy of God? You may remember that last Lord's Day we noticed three times over that title belonging to the devil in the Gospel of John, the prince of this world. Three times over, in three different chapters in the Gospel of John, the devil is called the prince of this world. Therefore, he has the preeminence in this world. He has set his mark on this world. He has placed his stamp upon this world. And we observe that in the references we took last Lord's Day concerning the world, we had in mind the system. And because Satan had put his stamp on the system that there is in this world, we used the term satanic system. Therefore, when God says you're not to exercise friendship with the world, God is saying you're not to exercise friendship with this satanic system that is in the world. When God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, God is saying in His Word that we're not to love this satanic system. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. Why is the child of God not to allow friendship with the world? Why is the child of God to reckon always that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Well, we can't emphasize that too strongly. I even feel that with this repetition and with this emphasis, I still haven't got through to your heart. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Why is that? 1 John 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world, the whole of this satanic system called the world, lieth in wickedness. Here the word wickedness is such that it can not only refer to the actual practices that are known in the world, it can also refer to a person. That being the case, we are free to quote the verse in this manner, the whole world lieth in the wicked one. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. That is to say, the whole of this satanic system lies in the palm of the devil's hand. The devil governs this world. This is taught to us also in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, where we have striking words, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And in this verse, Ephesians 6 and 12, we learn that this struggle and the believer's life is not against flesh and blood. No, not at all. The struggle in the believer's life is against principalities. Obviously, a ruling realm and the powers of darkness, against powers, against those forces the devil has at his command, where the child of God may actually sense the resistance. The devil has power, and he uses that power against the cause of Christ. The child of God then must wrestle, not against flesh and blood, but against these ruling principalities, against the powers of Satan, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And here the word ruler signifies one who has power over the world. That's the significance of the word ruler. If you like, we can refer to it as a world ruler. Let's read it like that. The world rulers of the darkness of this world, or the darkness of this age. Such is the meaning of the word ruler. One who has seized power over this world. One who has laid hold upon this world. And the devil has laid hold on the world. We were reading just now in 1 John 5, 19, the whole world lies in the wicked one, lies in the hands of the wicked one. He has seized power in this world. He uses that power against the kingdom of Christ, against the Word of God, against the child of God in his endeavors to live for the Lord. The devil then has power in the world. The child of God is not to love the world because the world lies in wickedness. The child of God is not to exercise friendship with the world because the world lies in wickedness. The child of God is not to offer friendship to this worldly system because Satan has seized power in this world. Friendship with this satanic system, therefore, is enmity with God. The devil is the prince of this world. If we go back to John's epistles, we'll discover something else about the characteristics of this world. 1 John and 2 John will be the areas researched. And we'll take the reference from 2 John, verse 7, first of all, to discover, 2 John, verse 7, to discover that the world is characterized by deception. Truly, the world is a satanic system because it's characterized by deception. The child of God is not to love the world. He's not to offer friendship to the world, that is, to the system of the world, because it's characterized by deception. It lies in the palm of the wicked one. And naturally, it's characterized by deception. 2 John 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." The very spirit of the devil is expressed in these words, as you may recall from what we said a little while ago. The world is characterized by deception. Many deceivers are entered into the world. They're in the world. Deception. Turn to 1 John chapter 4 this time. In verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." False prophets. The world is characterized by falsity. The world is characterized by deception. The world is characterized by falsity. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4, verse 3, something else in the world. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world." See that? The child of God is not to exercise friendship with the world because the world is characterized by deception, characterized by falsity, characterized by the spirit of Antichrist. Even now already is it in the world. You don't have to wait to the tribulation to find out something about the spirit of Antichrist. Many believers have been grossly mistaken in this area, and they imagine every time reference is made to the Antichrist, that must relate to some time in the future. No doubt God has a plan for the future. And no doubt God does tell us many things concerning the end of this age, respecting the Antichrist also. Nevertheless, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. We don't have to wait for the annunciation of the Antichrist as to the actual system, as to the actual spirit. The spirit of Antichrist is already working. Is already here. Where do we find it? Look at the words there. The last three words of verse 3. Where do we find the spirit of Antichrist? What are the last three words in the verse there? In the world. That's why you're not to love the world. That's why you're not to exercise friendship with the world. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot league up with Antichrist and have the friendship of the Lord. You can't belong to the world and drift along with the world and go the world's way and expect to have God's favor. Oh, God says plainly in His Word, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. When you start to love the world, no wonder your heart goes astray. You're loving that which is characterized by deception, characterized by falsity, characterized by the spirit of Antichrist. You're beginning to love that which is inside the principality of the devil. The whole world lieth in the wicked one. The whole world is corrupted by sin. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. The child of God becomes a partaker of the divine nature through the word of God. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And that's what happens when you come to Christ. You get a new nature. You become a partaker of the divine nature. You begin to love the Lord. You belong to the Lord because you partake of His nature. 2 Peter 1 and 4. But I read on in that verse. You not only become a partaker of the divine nature, but you escape something. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see something else in the world? We have read today of deception in the world. We have read of falsity in the world. We have read of the spirit of Antichrist in the world. And now you read of corruption that's in the world. You see why God does not want you to love the world? Why God does not want you to exercise friendship with the world? And you understand now, at least to some better degree, why friendship with the world is enmity with God. The devil's there. The devil has set a stamp on the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, gives us something for the child of God. Maybe a Christian reading those words has been saying, yes, I know that. I know the Lord has saved me. I know He has saved me out of the world. I know He has given me a new nature, that I have become a partaker of the divine nature. I know that. Well, there's something else you need to know. 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse 20. Don't be slipping back into the mess the Lord has lifted you out of. That's the message of this 20th verse. If the Lord has lifted you out of the world, saved you out of the world, do not be slipping back into it. Either somebody here today who needs this message. I say that because I do not believe the Lord ever gives me a word that's wasted on the air. I do not believe God ever gives me a message that isn't intended for anybody in particular. I believe, therefore, someone in this congregation is in danger of slipping back into the world. You're in danger of slipping back into the very mess the Lord lifted you out of. Look at the words here in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, you'll notice the characteristic of the world again, not only corruption, but pollution. Pollution. And if you have escaped these pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If there's a danger then of you slipping back in such a way that you're going to get entangled. And you notice the consequence of that. I think you ought to know the consequence of getting entangled in the world. You're going to be overcome. Then the latter end is worse than the beginning. Is there somebody slipping back today? As sure as you're in this place, you're slipping back into the mess the Lord took you out of. God has sent me with this word today to apply the brakes. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. The devil has put a stamp on the world. We can talk about the world as this satanic system because it's filled with corruption. And if you're slipping back, you're getting slowly but surely entangled in the world and overcome, then your latter end is going to be bad. It's going to be worse than the beginning. Are you slipping back? The child of God needs to be careful of every part of his life. You take the newspapers, the radio broadcasts, the television networks. Far more pollution in the world than most of God's people are prepared to recognize. Is there a stream of pollution flowing into your household? Every child of God needs to be challenged in this point. Is there a stream of pollution flowing into your household? Is there a pollution flowing into your home? Is the language a pollution in itself? The language you're enduring day after day. If after you have escaped, you've become entangled, or maybe already you're overcome. Do you remember a time when, either listening to a program or watching a program, you were appalled by horrid blasphemy? Programs haven't got any better. Don't deceive yourself in that matter. The programs haven't got any better. Are you able to endure them now more easily, more comfortably? If you are, then it is simply because your heart has become so hardened. Your heart has become so hardened. You're entangled in the world. You're overcome by the world. You're living out of touch with the Lord, I'm afraid. We should never find blasphemy easy on the ear. You should never get to the place where you're used to it, where you'll murmur in your heart, "Well, it's a pity that they would say such a dreadful thing." You must never allow yourself to get to that stage where you're going to say something like that as a kind of excuse to get by. "Oh, it's a pity they would say such a dreadful thing. Why should they take the name of the Lord in vain?" You're letting the devil do that. No, the child of God shouldn't have the kind of conscience that can take easily and comfortably blasphemy against the Lord. May the Lord give you a more tender conscience than you've ever had before. There's a danger if, having escaped the pollutions of the world, you're going to be entangled again in that mess out of which the Lord took you. Praise His name. The Lord did take you out of the world. And He doesn't mean you to slip back into it. Friendship with the world is a serious matter. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't let the things of the world get a grip on your soul. You're not to be entangled. I think that's the best definition of being entangled. You've let the thing get a grip on you, whatever it is. Maybe something else entirely. Maybe in another area of your life. It could be almost anything. You have let it get a grip on you. You see, there's always the danger of looking at somebody else and saying, "Well, now that message is going to suit somebody. It's going to suit you." Don't be fitting it to someone else. If it's not in one area, then the devil will attack you in another. There isn't an exception in this meeting. There isn't anybody here but who's in danger somewhere in his life of the things of the world getting a grip on him. So no child of God can go out and say, "That's not me." It is you. It's just you. It is you indeed. Is there something there that's getting a grip on you? The Lord has said here, He has saved you from these pollutions. Are they now beginning to get a grip on you? And even if you say, "I don't take any newspapers, I don't hear any radio programs, I never see a television screen," well, you'll be a mighty strange individual, but it's possible. Or there may be something else getting a grip on you. something else that belongs to the world. The devil is no mean adversary. He walketh about. He surveys the territory. He knows your weak spot. He can hit you where you don't want to be hit. He can hurt you where you don't want to be hurt. The devil knows how to take you. He walketh about, you see. He's not anchored to the one spot. And we're seeing what God says about the world. And the Christian's danger concerning the world. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. This world is alienated from the Lord. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 10. This world is alienated from God. John 1, verse 10. He was in the world. That's our blessed Savior. He was born at Bethlehem. He came into this world at Bethlehem, a little child laid in the manger. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Initially, the Lord formed this globe. Before Satan's fall, before man's fall, God made this world. He made it a thing of beauty. There was no stain of imperfection in it. There was no thorn on the rose, no weed in the garden. There in paradise, growing so luxuriously. Then came sin. And the Bible says here in John 1 and 10, although He in the beginning had made the world when our Savior came, the world knew Him not. You remember those words we were reading today in John 17, how our Lord Jesus Christ said, I pray not for the world. How He said of His people, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And our Lord has to disown that which He created. Oh, I should amplify what I have said there. Our Lord created this globe. He created the world. But such is the stamp of Satan on it. Such is the power of wickedness within it that our Lord disowns it. And He says, I pray not for the world. He cannot pray for the whole world of humanity that lies in wickedness. He says of His people, I have taken them out of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And the child of God should remember, he cannot love the world because the world is alienated from God. The world is in a state of alienation. The world knows not Christ. And recognizes not the Christ of God, and will not yield to Christ. And while we may take the word no in the ordinary sense, the world knew Him not, and we may think, well, the world did not recognize Him when He came, that's true. But it means more than that. It means the world does not want to know Him. The world does not want to know Him. The world will not yield obedience to the Christ of God. The world will not submit to Him. The cry is, we will not have this man to reign over us. There's another who's the prince of this world, not Jesus Christ. The world knew Him not. Where did that ignorance of Christ lead? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You'll discover that the world was not only blind to Christ, unyielding to Christ. The world crucified Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world. Oh, let me read it in the fashion that I have been doing this past little while, today and last Lord's Day. Let me read this word, world, the way I have been doing. Which none of the princes of this satanic system in the world, this satanic world, knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You can see how the world is identified here. Crucified the Lord. The world crucified the Lord of glory. Who then is that child of God who happily and without trouble of conscience in his own soul can love the world and the things that are in the world. Oh, you should be at war with the world, child of God. You're not to be in friendship with the world. You're not to be a part of the world. You're not to be living in such a way that you love the world and you're allowing it to get a grip on your soul. The world knew not the Christ of God and does not want to know him. The world crucified the Lord of glory. The world hammered the nails into the palms of his hands. The world drove the nails into his feet. Think of that the next time you hear a blasphemy and you want to live with it. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. While the child of God's in the world, this place of deception, falsity, and antichrist, I heard somebody say a long time ago, you know, the Lord couldn't have his people here in the world and the people of Antichrist at the same time. But already the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. God wants his people here so that they can do battle with the Antichrist. God has his people here so that they're a testimony against the Antichrist. The Lord says here in John 17, I'm not going to take my people out of the world. No, I'm going to keep them there. It's my prayer that they'll be kept from the evil that's in the world. I want them to be there. I want them to be there as a testimony. So God has you here in this world of deception and falsity and antichrist, this world of corruption, this world that will not bow to Christ, this world that crucified the Lord of glory, this world the God of which is the devil and the prince of which is the devil. God has you here to be a testimony. Let me give you one last reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is a very vital note in which to end. Verse 29 to 31. Wonderful passage indeed to end with today. Considering all we have sought to learn from the Word of God. Considering what we have contemplated when we have talked about the devil walking about and using this world as his territory. Walking about to and fro in the midst of the earth. What about the world and the Christian then? God has you here. Christian friend, you're not to be getting worldly. This is why we emphasize the time of prayer. Every child of God needs to stick in at the times of prayer, lest he becomes slack and remiss, lest he becomes neglectful. The devil will get you plenty to do. He may even have you visitors on a Monday night so as to hinder you in coming to the throne of grace. But child of God, while you're here in the world, you must be a witness in it. Now let's read the words. Verse 29, 1 Corinthians 7. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. How long does the Lord have you in the world? Not very long. The time is short. He only has you here a little while. Make it count. Make it count. You're not here forever. Don't be making that foolish mistake. You're only here in borrowed time. The Lord has you here for a wee while. So you'll witness for him while you're here. The time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Why? Why does God say this? Concerning family life, they that have wives, let them live as if they had none. They that weep, let them act as though they weren't weeping. And they that are rejoicing, let them live as if they weren't rejoicing. And they that buy, let them live as those who possess nothing. Why is that? So the world won't get a grip on you. While it mentions the wife here, we're not suggesting that all the blame is on the wife. It just relates to marital responsibilities and equally applies the other way around. Some wife who's here could find, because of her husband, that it's harder to live for the Lord. Some man who's here may find that because of his wife, it's harder to live for the Lord. And that doesn't necessarily mean that your husband's giving you bother or your wife's giving you bother. But if you're letting your home get to such a state of importance that you must live for that and put that first before the Lord, then you're making a mistake. You see, the Lord must be first. And what about those who weep? Well, you can get so overwhelmed with your sorrow. You can weep because of bereavement. You can weep because of personal affliction. You can weep because you're unhappy. You can weep because you're cast down and depressed. And here you're carrying this load of sorrow. But God says it's time you forgot about it. It's time you acted as if it wasn't there. Don't let it get such a grip on you that you're so overwhelmed by it, you have no time to live for the Lord. What about those who rejoice? Why, it's the Lord's will for His people to rejoice. The Lord doesn't want you to be miserable and unhappy and wretched every day of your life. The Lord wants you to have joy. But He says here, don't be so carried away by what's making you happy that you forget about the time. The time is short. And those that buy, you must buy to live, even if it's only a matter of buying the groceries. But some have to buy something in the realm of business. And there is of necessity a means of investment. But God says, don't be living as if now you've got a hold of something. Because you've got nothing. You've got nothing there. So we've got it all summed up in verse 31. And they that use this world, that's why the Lord has you here. You can use the world. But with what qualification? As not abusing it. And there we have, at least in the English, a play in words. You may use, but not abuse the world. For the fashion of this world passeth away. The time is short. Passing away. Only you don't abuse it. If you're going to let these things get in on you and get a grip of your soul, you're abusing the world. You're not using it. You're letting the world use you. Oh, the child of God must overcome the world. He's not to let the world overcome him. There's victory over the world. May the Lord help us so to live as to use the world and not abuse it. And never let the world so get in on us that we're going to be entangled again and let the world get a grip on us. But may we live above the world with hearts made pure and garments white and Christ enthroned within. Let's bow together in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word today. And we realize that if the devil has his stamp on this world, if he is the prince of the world, we do not want to own any allegiance either to it or to him. We desire to belong to Jesus only. And we pray that thou wilt sanctify thy people when thou didst take a people out of the world to separate them unto thyself. Thou didst also pray the prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. And, O Lord, we pray today that Thou wilt sanctify Thy people in the world. Lord, it's such an unclean place. We have sensed many and many a time the very atmosphere of defilement in it. Many a man, many a woman in this congregation will be compelled to lament. There's hardly a day in this workaday world in which the child of God in his place of business, where he has the communication with the world opened up at all, but he has to sense the defilement and the corruption that's in it. O Lord, we pray today that thou wilt sanctify each child of God in the world. Keep him clean. Keep him pure. Keep him separated unto God. And we pray that we will learn by thy grace and power to live above the world. Bless thy word today. Make it profitable. Make it a blessing to our souls. And as we leave this house, may we go with the smile of God on us. We ask it in Jesus' dear name. Amen.